The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony needs another day off, so we're lucky to still have Fillin' Frank.
Fillin' Frank? More like Thrillin' Frank, brother. Come on, man. There's the cheering. It's finally
you
back.
You put these glasses on, and you just become somebody else, don't you?
Come on. I would say they make me do it, but I love every minute of it.
Welcome to PTI. In today's episode, Ben Simmons is on the trade market, Pete Alonso wins home run derby, and the Lightning dent the Stanley Cup. We are going to start, though, with Team USA Basketball losing another Olympic tune-up, this time to Australia. The Aussies won by 8, just two nights after Nigeria beat Team USA by 3. Still, Coach Greg Popovich says, quote, "I thought we got better tonight," close quote. Frank, is that what you think, or do you see this now as cause for concern?
I think you have to be somewhat concerned. I mean, if you go all the way back to 1992 and we started using NBA players, we had been 54-2 in exhibition games, and now we've lost 2 over 3 days. And under Greg Popovich, if you go back to the FIBA World Cup a couple of years ago, we've lost 4 out of our last 5 games. So, yes, the competition we know is caught up. I wonder if we're not adjusting to the international rules. We're used to in the NBA, guys would drive, they get touched, they throw their head back, a foul is called. That's not the case anymore. So there has to be some concern. If you're Greg Popovich, and you know this, Mike, you go back to 04, he's the assistant coach on the team that wins the bronze. The FIBA World Cup, they finished 7th. A lot of pressure on, you know, one of the most accomplished coaches in NBA history going into these Olympics.
Frank, I totally agree with you. I remember at one point, I don't know, in the late 80s, even in well into the 90s, where the U.S. had lost like no games. I mean, there's the debacle in 72 where we got cheated.
Yep.
And then we started like with Pan Am games and Olympics in 87, 88, respectively. I was at all that stuff. And it was like 4 losses ever. I'd seen 3 of them. Now, Frank, it seems like it's every week. And to your point, I don't think these are necessarily one-offs. Now, look, we're going to frame in the United States all these things around looking in at Team USA. But that's not the answer. The answer lies in the rest of the world. I was just texting with a friend, a coach this morning, and there was a great line. He said, "I don't know if they've caught up, but maybe they're closing in." And I think that's sort of the right spirit to look at this. Look, we're talking about one league. We're talking about an institution which sort of, you know, gives the world all these great basketball players, teams, coaches. Greg Popovich has had such a dramatic effect on this world of basketball, players and coaches. And now they're coming back saying, "Coach, let me show you what I've learned." And you look at all these countries, Frank, they're all producing great players. We're not the only ones. And those rules, they work in favor of the international teams and against us.
You think about it, though. You have Kevin Durant out on the court. You have Damian Lillard. And we're getting outscored 11-1 in the final 4:30 of the game. We go 0-for-5 with 2 turnovers. I'm telling you, you can mention LeBron, but LeBron put in his time on the national team.
Yes, he has.
Steph Curry's never played in the Olympics. Steph Curry would make a huge difference here. Now, we're still the favorite. You look at Las Vegas, they say, you know, prohibitive favorites going into the Olympics. But before we went to the FIBA World Cup a couple of summers ago, we lost to Australia in an exhibition game.
I remember
so
that.
So under Greg Popovich, they've lost 3 exhibition games, 3 out of the 4, and we ended up finishing 7. So this is a bit of a trend. Let's be fair here.
That's right. Those favorites, by the way, they're determined in Las Vegas. Where's Las Vegas? Oh, the United States. I'd like to know what the big board says in Dubai. I'm just asking. But this is going to be a fun thing to watch, Frank. It really is.
Yep. All right, Mike. Just 3 weeks ago, the Sixers indicated they were committed to Ben Simmons. But today, The Athletic reported that Philly has opened up trade conversations with other teams about their star point guard and are asking for an all-star caliber player in return. Mike, do you think the Sixers are going to get one if they trade Ben Simmons?
Yeah, I think so. I think there are plenty to be had. Yeah, yeah. Frank, just think, we're still in July, right? We haven't reached free agency period. And then we're going to have a month where Players are going to say, hey, I want out. There's more movement than ever of good players. I'm not saying a great player. I'm not saying a top five player. But I'm saying an all-star caliber player, particularly with this last couple of draft classes, which is really producing some talented players who are going to project to be all-stars. So, yes, I think so. And I don't think Simmons hasn't shown that he can impact playoff games and late and be the kind of closer that's going to demand a top five player back. But I think he has shown that he's a hell of a player in all sorts of other situations, and he can demand an all-star back.
All right, so you think about it. You go back to the start of the season when James Harden's name was out there. Ben Simmons was linked to James Harden.
Yeah.
You are not getting player of James Harden's caliber for Ben Simmons. You know, in the playoffs, he was 25 of 73, not on field goal attempts, not on three-pointers, from the free throw line. And that is a major concern. When you have a player making that much money who late in games does not want to get fouled and go to the free throw line. Mike, Giannis Antetokounmpo struggles at the free throw line. He's not afraid to have the ball late in the game and get fouled and go to the basket. And by the way, he did make 13 of 17 the other night against the Phoenix Suns. Daryl Morey is always big game hunting. We know
that. See, that's the other part. Daryl Morey can get return for trades. He does it every year.
But can you get Damian Lillard? I think where he's going to end up, I think he's somehow going to end up, and it's going to be complicated. I think he somehow ends up on the Lakers because of LeBron, Rich Paul, and we know that everybody plays better under LeBron. So I think Ben Simmons can kind of salvage, his early part of his career. Otherwise, I'm not going to trade him yet. What am I going to get for him? He didn't play well enough in the playoffs.
Frank agreed with everything except the part. Doesn't LeBron need shooters? LeBron lacked shooters already. We know what Ben Simmons is, by the way. Ben Simmons' foul shooting, those numbers you quoted were crazy. I mean, he makes Giannis look like, Rick Barry. And it's just unbelievable that he could. Look, he's flawed. I get that. But he's also a guy that a different environment where he's nurtured and pushed and shown some tough love and gets better. I ain't giving up on Ben Simmons as a player.
I'm not either. But I do think it's over in Philadelphia for him.
It needs to be over in Philadelphia. It can't survive there of all the places. No, get him out of Philadelphia. Save him. Save Ben Simmons. Get him the hell out of Philly. Shohei Ohtani was the top seed in last night's home run derby. But for the second straight year, Pete Alonso won the contest. Alonso beat Trey Mancini in the final pairing and afterward boasted, quote, "I think I'm the best power hitter on the planet," close quote. Frank, let's play What's the Word. Last night was a blank night for baseball.
All right, you want me to say home run? How about smashing or a grand slam for baseball? It was a lot of fun. And Pete Alonso, he fits right into the New York mold because people outside of New York want to hate him, and he's a cocky guy. He's confident. He dominated that conversation, the home run derby. I will say this, though, about Shohei Ohtani, because that was going to be the big thing. And he went up against Soto, and that was good because it went to basically three rounds until they determined a winner. But Shohei Ohtani, and you guys talked about it on the show, where he doesn't take batting practice.
Yeah.
He looked exhausted after swings.
Because he was.
He was bent over. So maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe he never takes batting. He's like me on the golf course. I'm trying to compare myself to Shohei Ohtani. Give me like three swings before I go out there. I can't waste my swings in the practice range. I think that's what he's saying while he was standing in there for the home run derby.
Yeah, that might be true. First of all, Pete Alonso, you can't compare him physically to anybody. He's a bear. Nickname is Polar Bear. He's like the kid in high school that it takes eight kids to wrestle to the ground in the playground when you're having recess. And it's like Moby Dick. You need ropes and anchors and things. Because Pete Alonso is, 6'3", 240, listed as. He looks like he's like 6'4", 270. He's a beast. All right, so he loves these things. He seems like the kind of guy that you really would hate if you weren't on his team. You would just get tired of him because all he wants to do is laugh and swing he's in a long drive contest every round, every night of his life. It was kind of cool. I don't know what the word was. I didn't watch it.
It was fun.
That's like the dunk contest. I don't care about the dunk contest or home run derby.
Some fun.
You know,
I'll tell you
how many
what,
times
Mike,
can you go back? Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, serious.
But that's the thing. Shohei Ohtani was hitting line drive, so I kept getting worried about the young kids who were in the outfield because everyone's looking up. He'd hit a bomb, and then the next thing you know, he's hitting a frozen rope. Yeah. There were little kids. I always worry about that. Anyway, you should have watched. It was fun.
Dunk contest.
The actual All-Star game, it's just hours away. Shohei will start on the mound for the American League. He's also going to bat leadoff. How cool is that? Manager Kevin Cash said, this is what the fans want to see. It's personally what I want to see. Other AL pitchers have better numbers than Ohtani. So, Mike, is he the right pitcher to start?
No. I mean, he's not the wrong pitcher, but Lance Lynn, I'm just going to pick one guy.
All right.
And granted, I'm more familiar because he plays, like, you know, just over my shoulder out here. So Lance Lynn, 9-3 with a 1.99 for a team that I believe has an 8-game lead. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, in his division, no, I don't think he has to start. I understand the hype. By the way, managers, and if they're actually managing their teams and not the general manager looking over the manager's shoulder and dictating him on a phone based on the numbers what to do, if we don't have that, it's fine. The manager can pick whoever he wants, like Dave Roberts in the National League. But come on, man. Lance Lynn, what he's done and what that team's done, he's the right starting. If all people want to do is appeal to the hype meisters like Kornheiser, sure. Ohtani could be 4-6 with a 4.34, and people would still find a way to justify him. I'm not doing that.
Mike, if Lance Lynn was starting, you and I would be sitting here saying, baseball, they never get it right. This is so original. You're having a guy that's going to bat leadoff, is also going to start.
Good.
How unique is that?
Off.
This is what baseball is actually doing, the right thing. Lance Lynn, God bless you. Maybe you'll get to start another time. Starting in the All-Star game is a big deal. Go back to 86, Clemens against Dwight Gooden. Go back to 99, Pedro started in Fenway, struck out the first three batters, Barry Larkin, Larry Walker, Sammy Sosa. Then he struck out Mark McGwire to start the second. It's a big deal. This is so unique. We're talking about Babe Ruth. It's so original. Why wouldn't you want this guy starting? I get it. You have to hurt some feelings along the way. It's too cool. He definitely should be starting this game.
By the way, Babe Ruth could have only played in like two All-Star games because the first one was 1933 and Babe Ruth's rookie year was 1914. So we're not talking about Babe Ruth.
Mike.
I get your point, but here's a key thing you said. You said about Pedro's second inning. Put him in the second or third. It's not starting
it's
the All-Star game.
Mike.
It's being in the All-Star game, being in it
Mike.
At any point.
He's
when
the
did
biggest
Pete
name
Rose
in
run
the
over
sport.
Ray Fosse? It
right
wasn't
this
to lead
minute,
off the game.
He's the biggest name in the sport. He's going to lead off, and then when he has to pitch, the first batter he's going to face is Fernando Tatis. And no offense, a lot of people after the first couple innings click off because they just want to see early in the game.
Yeah, well, they should
Shohei Ohtani is the star. It's incredible
if
what they're
having
to do.
If he was that big a star, you could turn him on in the third inning. If all you're going to do is watch him lead off the game, how big a star is he?
Because he should start. He's the biggest star.
In the world of sport.
Aye, aye.
Let's take a break.
You're wrong.
Philly and Frank getting me all worked up. Coming up, does Michael Strahan need to give up the NFL single season sack record?
Was that really a sack? And Tom Brady famously threw the Lombardi trophy, but did the Lightning do something even worse to the Stanley Cup?
These guys are carried away now.
You don't want him to start. It's the biggest name right now.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Time to spank Frank and toss up. Say that three times quickly. What's first?
Toss up. Who will you see as the single season sack leader? Michael Strahan or Bubba Baker?
Well, neither. We'll get back to that. I know and love Strahan and saw so much of his career in person. This is because Pro Football Reference is going back, looking at things like tackles behind the line, sacks. Yep. And they go all the way back, and they find that Baker had 23 sacks, I think in his rookie season or second season in 1978. You know, Strahan had 22 and a half later. And so who's the leader? The leader is Deacon Jones. Because Deacon Jones had 170-some sacks. It's neither of these guys. Deacon Jones probably had 30 sacks in the season back before they were even keeping it. He came in the league in 1961. They're going back and looking at all those seasons. It's Deacon Jones, right-in candidate. Everything is Deacon Jones.
It's the man from New Jersey, and I'm not talking about Michael Strahan. Bubba Baker, Newark's own, who went to Colorado State. If they went back and looked, no offense to Michael Strahan, how about the last sack that Michael Strahan got that year against Brett Favre? When Brett Favre kind of ran into a sack. I think you have to go with the record. It should be Bubba Baker. And you mentioned Deacon Jones. I was looking at that story. How about the fact that the great Alan Page, 148 career sacks, Carl Eller, 133, they were on the same line.
Team.
How good
same
was
line.
That Minnesota team?
Yeah, but yeah, going back to Deacon Jones, he played in 14-game seasons.
Yeah.
The subsequent guys played in 16-game seasons.
He was a
bad man.
He had
fewer opportunities. Come on. Just the answer to all of your questions about defensive line play is
Deacon Jones.
Strahan would be the first to tell you that. What's next?
Toss up, which Tampa team treated their trophy worse, the Bucs or the Lightning?
I don't know. Everybody goes around doing this now. They got to show off with the trophy. They got a Tom Brady tosses it. And, you know, it could have gone in the drink and it could have drowned. That would have been funny. I guess it's the Lightning, although the Stanley Cup has had dents. Look at that big dent. It looks like it was made that way.
Bad.
The Stanley Cup has had dents many times before. They go in and hammer it out. I'm going to still say Tom Brady, even though the Lightning tried to act a fool with the cup, too.
All right, I'm going to have to be this guy. When everyone talks about in baseball, the NBA, NFL, they talk about getting the ring. In hockey, they talk about the Stanley Cup. It's like the holy grail to them. And then that's the way that you treat it? You put a gigantic dent by goofing around? I get it.
But
Real Madrid, they once won a trophy, the Copa del Rey. They had on the bus. They dropped it. They ran it over. They didn't mean to run it over. What are the Tampa Bay Lightning doing here? I thought
that's
the Stanley Cup, Lord Stanley, that's what you do to it?
But, Frank, they abuse it every year. I was walking through O'Hare once, and Patrick Kane, after the first or second Blackhawks Cup, said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to go home and go to bed." He says, "No, I've got the cup." And there was such joy in his eyes as to what three of them. I don't know who you're rooting for, but that's the tradition of the cup abusing it. That's it. Frank doesn't know the Blackhawks won three in a row and not all that long ago. Let's take a break. But still to come, another setback for Roger.
And is Ben Roethlisberger really following a stricter diet than Tom Brady?
I didn't mean three in a row. 2010, 13, and 15. I know my Blackhawk cup years.
The Holy Grail, and they dent it. Nobody dents the Holy Grail.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First. All without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to get happy, people. Happy 73rd birthday, Anthony Irwin Kornheiser.
There we go.
The media giant has gone from Newsday to the New York Times to the Washington Post to radio to WRC-TV to ESPN to Monday Night Football to a podcast to sequestration in his own attic. It's 472 days and counting in bubble wrap in Northwest Washington, D.C. And Kornheiser essentially leaves only to drive solo to his oceanfront compound in Delaware, or if you can put him in a G6 and fly him to one of the top 50 golf courses in America. It's a hell of a life Kornheiser built on his wit, wisdom, and ultimately award-winning hot takes on various platforms. Word is leaked that his 80-year-old Hall of Fame mentor, Larry Brown, will soon return to the bench for one more coaching gig, and that Kornheiser will indeed leave his attic sometime in November to interpret and explain Larry's unparalleled coaching genius in exchange for free golf and comped meals down in Memphis.
A couple of Long Island legends, Larry Brown and the great Tony Kornheiser. I'm lucky enough I got to know them both. They're actually both funnier in person, believe it or not. Larry's
really
actually
are.
Crazier in person, too.
It's a great note, Frank. They are funnier in person, both of them. Happy anniversary, Jim Brown. On this day 55 years ago, Brown, then just 30 years old, shocked the NFL and the football world by announcing his retirement from the set of The Dirty Dozen, which was being filmed in England. After leading the league in rushing 8 of his 9 seasons, he retired as the league leader in single-season rushing, rushing touchdowns, total touchdowns, and all-purpose yards, and he did that largely in 12-game seasons. He's still the only man to average 100 yards rushing per game for an entire career. When delays on the shooting of The Dirty Dozen were going to make Brown late for training camp and incur fines from owner Art Modell, Brown, who planned to retire anyway one more season later, called it a wrap.
Speaking of Long Island legends, also was a great lacrosse player in from Manhasset. By the way, I could see another Cleveland legend, LeBron James, maybe doing the same thing, retiring on a movie set. By the way, Space Jam 2 comes out Friday, Mike. Little public service announcement.
Good note. Happy trails, Duncan Keith. The Blackhawks traded their longtime defensive star and stalwart to the Edmonton Oilers for Caleb Jones and a third-round pick. Keith spent 16 years with the Blackhawks, was a huge part of those three Stanley Cup-winning teams, see Frank, and won the Conn Smythe Trophy as the playoff MVP in 15. He also once lost 17th in a playoff series-clinching win over the Sharks and finished that game. This past season, at the age of 37, Keith still led Chicago in ice time with more than 23 minutes per game. Oilers general manager Ken Holland said, quote, "Is he the same player today? No, he wouldn't be available, but I'm not asking him to be our number one defenseman," close quote. Keith requested the trade so he can be closer to his son, who lives in British Columbia.
Now that's a good reason. By the way, 16 straight years, he averaged 23 minutes of ice time. That's impressive and durable.
He was
pretty
great,
good.
Great, great Hall of Famer to be. We're running out of show. Let's go to the big finish. Pekka Rinne announced his retirement from the NHL. How are you going to remember his career, Frank?
Well, he spent all 683 games of his NHL career with the Nashville Predators. Rob Manfred says he doesn't think 7-inning doubleheaders will be part of baseball's future. Okay by you?
It could be bargaining, but it was a regrettable gimmick anyway. Get it out of here. Ryan Burr reports that Ben Roethlisberger is in the best shape of his life and following a stricter diet than TB12. Do you believe that?
I do. Guys like Tom Brady, Michael Wilbon, Chris Paul, they get on that diet. They look better as they get older. Suns assistant Willie Green is reportedly a front runner for the Pelicans job. Does it make sense?
Listen, it makes sense. Yes, I think that Willie deserves a shot, and a lot of people believe that. Zion could be the big winner.
Yeah, you're right.
Last one, Roger Federer says he suffered a setback with his knee, will not play in the Olympics. Frank, your thoughts?
I think he's getting ready for the U.S. Open. By the way, Roger turns 40 in a couple of weeks. We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads.